Had a good one. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Take Six podcast. Today's a good episode because it's our first Blue Jays episode of this 2019 season. I'm your host, Hunter Serblitz, and as always, on the other line, we've got Callum Wise. Callum, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, Jays are back up and running. That's... Some people might not see that as a good thing because they're projected to do really badly, but I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, however, that there is snow
on
opening weekend. It's kind of freaking me out.
Canada, baby.
Anyways, as we know, like we just mentioned, the Blue Jays have started, and it was their first season or their first series of the season, a four-game series against the Detroit Tigers. And you know what? Yesterday, we were tied for first in the AL East, and it felt good. Yeah, so the AL East is not shaping up the way that I think everyone thought it was going to. I mean, four games in, three games for some teams. But you're looking at it, and you see the Rays at the top at a 3-1 record. The Red Sox at the bottom with a 1-3 record, and the Yankees just above the Red Sox at 1-2. So right now, the Blue Jays are ahead of both the Yankees and the Red Sox. They're projected right now to have a 81-81 record since they're 500, which is better than what I expected. Callum wise. So as we talk about this first series, obviously there's a couple things to unpack here, and I mean, we're not necessarily playing, you know, the projected World Series champions here in the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers haven't necessarily impressed as of late in terms of these past few seasons, and it doesn't look like they're necessarily going to impress again, right? The Blue Jays split the season series, as I said, but here we are in that very first game. We lose 2-0 to the Tigers in a 10th inning game. Then we come back on Friday and win 6-0. Then we win 3-0 on Saturday. And today, we're recording this on Sunday, March 31st, they lose 4-3.
Callum, in extra innings.
In extra innings as well, yes. So what kind of things have stood out to you so far in terms of this team's play? Have they been playing better than you kind of expected? Are they playing worse? Or what's your general feeling on this team after their first series?
I think definitely, I'm going to save the good part for later, but I think that the hitting is just as we expect it to be, really kind of slow to take off, even if it is going to take off. Because we saw in some of those games, obviously, like the first game was a really good pitching battle, so you can't really knock the players for that. And then we had a good hitting game the next game, but it's been like not a lot of hits in these games, and that's also due to the fact that pitching has been unreal. That's what I was waiting to say, was that our starting pitching has been unbelievable, like so good. Like Stroman came out starting pitch, like was a for our season opener. And he just, I was watching him pitch, man. Like, he was just so on. It was amazing to watch him. He was just like, all of his pitches were just like insane. And then, like, Shoemaker came out as well and showed everyone that he's still a really good starter. And he put up, what was it, 7 shutout innings?
Yep.
Was it 1 hit or 2 hits that he gave up?
2 hits. He had, like, the exact same stat line as
Stroman. Yeah.
Seven innings, 7 strikeouts, and 2 hits allowed.
Yeah. And then Sanchez came up with 5 shutout innings.
Five.
And then the new guy, obviously, it was today, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was today. He broke the record for most strikeouts for a first-time starting pitcher, right? Yeah, like his first start.
He had eight strikeouts in the game today, and I think he only pitched five innings as well. He started off the game with four straight strikeouts, which was very impressive.
And, yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, and Kyle, going off your point with the pitching being their best kind of attribute so far, and it's true. They've pitched the starters I'm talking about have pitched a combined 24 innings. They have a combined 28 strikeouts, the second lowest batting average against at 115, and you know, the third or fourth lowest walks hits per inning. So right now you're looking at this team, and not to mention they haven't given up a run yet. They're the only starting pitching rotation that has yet to give up a run. And like I said at the beginning, they are not necessarily, you know, these guys aren't, they're not playing the world beaters right now in the Detroit Tigers. They've led off with the fourth worst batting average so far this season. And Toronto's not really much ahead of them, only 20 percentage points above. And like you said, yeah, dude, the hitting's not there, but the pitching is. And my biggest concern for this team this year was going to be the pitching, was going to see if we had consistency. And it's not just the starters that were doing really well. It was the...
Everybody,
right? We're seeing Biagini actually looking good this year, right?
The first game he came out, I was like, oh my, who is this guy?
Yeah, and so the relievers have done just as well in terms of, you know, not getting guys on. Their average is 211. They're a very high strikeout rate with 22 strikeouts, very few walks, only five walks so far in this young season. And they've only given up one home run as a unit, right? This Toronto Blue Jays bullpen has only given up one home run, which is nice to see, because especially in a hitter's ballpark, you're used to seeing a lot of balls hit out of there, especially with this Toronto Blue Jays team. And I think we can walk into hitting here where they have struggled. This team doesn't hit well, and we knew that was going to happen. We, you know, like you said, they're right up to par with kind of what we expected to happen. And I've said it again, I'll say it again here. The Jays aren't playing the best pitching staff in baseball. To be honest with you, most of these guys that started for this Tigers team, I was like, who the hell is that? Like, I knew Matt Moore, who started this game today. But
I knew Zimmerman as well.
Yeah, and you know these guys, but you're not like, is he good? Is he gonna be able to pitch well against us? I had no idea, dude. I had no idea what to expect. And the biggest thing to me is that, is Pilar, right? I was hoping that Pilar was gonna come in and step up as this, not necessarily the best player on the team, but he would step up and say, hey, listen, I'm the vet on this team. I've been playing here longer than anyone else. Let me show some of these young guys how it's done. Let me show
it. And he was hitting really well during the offseason.
Yeah, like,
when they went to that, the Japan tournament? Yeah, or was it just a game?
It was like a series. And yeah, he has not got a base hit this entire season so far. In the four games, I think he's 0 for, I want to say 16. I don't have the stats up with me right now. I can pull them up in a second. Yeah. Kevin Pillar is 1 for 16. I guess he got a base hit today. .063 batting average.
Damn.
So far this season. But I guess, you know, We've got two guys here who have no hits in Grichuk and Gurriel Jr., and that's not acceptable
and
at this
those
point.
Those two are usually – they were good hitters last year coming into the second half.
Yeah.
Especially Gurriel Jr. You, like, broke those records.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's – so we kind of said this earlier that it's not necessarily shocking to us that they've struggled in terms of hitting, because this team isn't there yet and they're not going to be a good hitting team this season. We know that. Do you think Vlad Jr. is going to... So we saw this a little bit with the old Blue Jays lineups when they had the Encarnacion, they had the Bautista, the Donaldson lineups, where it was kind of those three right in a row. And you didn't want to pitch to Donaldson in that two spot because you, or you didn't want to walk Donaldson in that two spot because you know either Bautista or Encarnacion would be able to hit a home run at any given moment. Do you think once they insert Vlad Jr. into that lineup and they put him at that 3, 4, 5 spot, wherever they're going to put him, that it might affect those guys at the top of the order, maybe getting pitched to a little more just because they don't want to give up a 2-run, 3-run bomb to Vlad?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what happened. Like you just said, the Encarnacion era with Bautista and Donaldson, everyone was getting hits because they didn't want to pitch. Like, it was so hard to pitch around them anyways because you can't pitch around three guys in a row who are all just, like, superior threats in the long, like, anything. Like, Donaldson was an amazing hitter. Bautista and Encarnacion were both really good long ball hitters as well. But it showed that everybody got everyone was getting hits. Like, Russell Martin was hitting well. I think that's when Saunders was an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, that was insane. Just because, like, he was hitting so many balls. Just because I think he was, like, I think they put him in, like, one of the higher spots, like, as he was starting to hit it really well. And it just showed that when you have someone in your lineup that you're scared about him just, like, opening up the game, like, which is, like Aaron Judge at Stanton and New York. Like, those guys, they have really good base hitters on their team. And so that's why they're so hard to pitch around, because they have these guys who can get on base, and then you wait for these guys to come up and just, like, open these games all the way open.
Yeah, and that's going to be the trouble with this team. There's no one who you're scared of, really. Like, even with Vlad, you're not going to be scared of him yet because he hasn't proven himself. And even if you do let Vlad hit a home run or two, it's not like the rest of these guys are going to be able to put up really big numbers that are going to scare you in any way. Like, in any sort of way, you're not going to be shaking in your boots as the other team being like, oh, shit, I have to face, you know, Galvis, or I have to face Brandon Drury. Like, oh, I'm terrified. Yeah, uh-oh. But, yeah, I mean, those takeaways, like, obviously those are the most basic of takeaways that we can talk about of the pitching and the hitting there. But I think this early in the season, that's all you can really say, right? You can't say that these guys are going to be this bad all season. Like, maybe they are, but a lot of people
were fully expecting that coming into the season.
Yeah, exactly. This is not out of the realm of possibility, but I think when they go up against some of these better teams, when we mentioned the pitching, how they were doing so well, when they go up against some of these, you know, actually good MLB teams,
like elite hitting teams,
they're gonna find a bit of a struggle in here, and they are not going to do what they've been able to do so far this season, because, like I said, they're not that great of a team in Detroit, and I think they're gonna probably look pretty good in this next series too with the pitching, as they're playing the Baltimore Orioles, who everyone knows about them. And
worst team in baseball right now.
Yeah. So I think I like the schedule makers for this upcoming.
Get the
bad teams out of the way, build the confidence for some of these young guys, and hope. Well, I mean, they're probably going to end this next series at 500 as well. And then they've got Cleveland on the schedule later this week.
And that'll be the real, like, showing of what the season's going to be about.
Exactly. And the starting pitchers are going to get tested more. They're going to be a little more difficult. It's going to be an away series in Cleveland, a different environment than what the Jays are used to. And I guess we'll just see what happens, right? I don't think we can do a full, you know, a full deep dive into what this team really is and how, you know, good or bad they are, just because it's been four games, right? It's been four games against not very stiff competition. If this was a different team, maybe we can have a little bit more of a deep dive into here, but we can't right now. I don't think it's fair for the team. I don't think it's fair for us to do it either because, you know, inevitably we will look stupid for whatever we say, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so another big thing was this is, you know, Charlie Montoyo's first managing kind of season as a full-time manager. And it seems like the guys really like him. It looks like the chemistry is there. He looks like he has a lot of respect from a lot of these young guys and even the older guys in the dugout. So obviously after that first win, you saw the big beer shower that he got, and that looked like a lot of fun. Do you think that he has made a big culture change, and do you think he's made a big enough culture change that this team might perform a little bit better than maybe they would have under Gibbons?
Oh yeah, I think because the whole reason that he was brought in, well, for two big reasons. The fact that he can speak to both English and Hispanic players is a big thing. So he can like speak directly to the players, like Gibby would have to talk through somebody, obviously. But now, like, he won't have that blockade. And the fact that he was on the Rays, who last year were projected to be, like, just as bad as Baltimore because they gave up all their good players, but they finished with, like, 90 wins or something, right? Like, they showed up. They even kind of, like, made a little run for the wild card spot, but, like, didn't get there. But they made it a lot they made it like a lot farther than anyone thought they would. Like they were on a tear in that season, and it's like recently that's what's been happening. Like remember when New York was like just starting rebuild phase, and was like, wow, they're gonna suck this year. They went to the playoffs and they did really well, and then obviously this last year they played really well again, and it's looking more and more like rebuilds are coming a lot easier and they're not taking as long as they should. And that's just like the new style of management is just working. And I think Montoya has brought that from the Rays, and that's why they picked it. I think they did really, really, even though we've just trashed management over the decisions they've made over the players, they made some really good changes to the coaching staff. And I think it's going to help the players a lot this year, and will probably do better than most people think.
Yeah, and you can already see a bit of the culture change in twofold here, and I will touch on both of them in just a second. But the pitching, I don't know if you noticed this, but the starting pitchers, and I don't know if this was a Montoyo thing or if it was all the starting pitchers who kind of came together and made this decision themselves, but before each game, the starting pitchers...
That is Montoya. I was listening to that
it was?
On the radio.
Okay.
On the radio, yeah, I heard that.
Okay, so that's even better. That's even more encouraging than I was expecting. But the starting pitchers, when they come from the bullpen to do their warm-up and all their stuff, all six guys in the rotation go out and warm up with, say, Sanchez, if he's pitching, or Stroman, or Shoemaker, or Thornton, whoever it is who's pitching, all of the pitchers in the starting rotation go out and are at least there with them. They're present while the warm-up is going on, and whether they're, you know, giving tips, giving advice, helping out with a scouting report, or, you know, giving some change, you know, how you throw your changeup, whatever it is, it's a very good look for this team. And now, you know, you're telling me that it's Montoyo who kind of implemented that. I think that's genius. Having all of your players come out together, not only is it symbolic that, hey, you guys are going to have to not just go through our starting pitcher, but you're going to have to go through all of us. I think that's a very good look for, A, this Jays team, and B, Montoyo as a culture creator, culture facilitator here. And so my second point on top of that first one is that this team is looking like they're going to be playing more, like, quote-unquote, proper baseball, a little bit more small ball, and that's probably because, it's a good thing, probably because their power is now all gone. They don't really have any power hitters in this lineup, maybe aside from Rowdy Tellez and Vlad Jr. when he gets up here. Grichuk can get hot. Teoscar Hernandez can get hot at points. But I think it's a good thing that this team has now switched into that, like I said, quote unquote, small ball style of play. They still don't have the speed in order to, you know, steal bases from anybody or to take extra bases on you know, things that might be a single or just a double and stretching them into the next base. But they laid down their first bunt of the season so far this year, their first sacrifice bunt of the season, and it only took them 3 games to do so. And that's impressive to me because, Callum, I want you to guess how many bunts in total, like how many sacrifice bunts in total they had all of last year. Can you guess?
I'm going to say six.
That's very close. Five, dude.
Damn. Yeah, I knew it was really low.
In 162 games, they had five sacrifice bunts. Damn. That is absurd. So, and I think, and you know what? Maybe they're only going to have five this year. But at least having it and showing that you are not only capable of doing it, but you're willing to do it this early in the season mm-hmm. is a very good sign for Toronto fans who want to see more runs. And it's going to produce more exciting games. Like we've seen already, 2 games in extra innings. They're going to do what it takes to at least, you know, if not score a run, make a nice move to get a runner in scoring position, which is always very important for a team who probably won't score a whole lot of runs. So, Cal, in these first few games, there has to be someone who has stood out the most to you or who has impressed you the most with their play and whatever, whether it's a pitcher, the catcher, anyone in the infield, anyone in the outfield, the manager even. Who are you going to be telling me has stood out the most in these first 4 games?
So it's hard. It's really hard because there's been a lot of guys who stood out to me. Like Jansen has shown up in terms of like showing that he's got a great arm, like an amazing accuracy. Like his throws are perfect to throw these guys who are trying to steal a base. And it's pretty amazing to see that we have another great catcher on the lineup. But, I think the one I'm going to have to say Giles, man. Like this guy came to our team. I'm not even talking about just this season, just when since he's got here. Obviously, I saw the other day he has the longest active closing streak in the MLB at 36.
Like 36, yeah. Yeah, 36 awesome.
Saves. And he's just when he's pit, like we were really upset when Osuna was traded, obviously with all that was going on, they kind of had to. And we're like, oh, damn, we're going to get this bum instead of like one of the best closers in the league. And Giles just like, he showed up. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to prove to you guys that I'm better than Osuna. And I don't know if he's proved that he's better than Osuna, but he's definitely made his case. And he is just, no one can get by this guy when he's up and trying to save these games. Obviously, like, he pitched the ninth yesterday or today and had a good inning, but we went to extras, so he was kind of pushed out. But sorry about that. I think he's the one who stood out most to me.
Yeah, I like that. And for me, you mentioned him already. It's Danny Jansen. I've tweeted this a bunch of times from the Take Six account that it is very refreshing to see a bat catcher who is actually mobile and athletic. And he obviously we had one of the better in Russell Martin. We had one of the better defensive catchers in terms of blocking the ball from getting by him. And if you're a catcher nowadays in the MLB, you're going to be good at that stuff. No one is really better than Russell Martin. I understand that, but Danny Jansen, his movement is so clean and so crisp and so quick. There was a play on Saturday's game where he blocks the ball, it gets out in front of the plate, and I thought for sure the guy on second was he took off, right? And I thought for sure he was getting in there, no questions asked. But he just got to the ball so quickly and made a perfect throw. You were talking about how good his arm has been, and he made a perfect throw to get the guy out at third. And that's not something that we've seen in a long, long time since Russell Martin was a little bit younger, a little more cat-like.
In his prime.
Yeah, yeah, a little more nimble than the past few years. And I have to
think that he got some of these skills from Russell Martin because they played together. You'd
have to think so. Yeah, you'd have to think so, right? And it's just and that is probably why he stands out so much to me, is that I'm used to seeing a slower, older Russell Martin behind the plate. And now all Jansen has to do really is make sure he gets his hitting up. He had a stretch in a little bit last year where he was hitting really, really well. This year it hasn't translated quite yet. He's only got 2 hits and 12 at-bats. But like I said, it's early in the season. He's only played 3 out of the 4 games. Once he's in as regularly as he probably should be and that he will be, I'm expecting a little bit more in terms of the offensive side. But his defense is there, my man. His defense has looked so good, and it's just refreshing to see some guy that quick and that fast behind the plate when I've been used to old Russ Martin behind there. So lastly here, before we end the show, Cal, you were talking beforehand that you wanted to talk a little bit about the injuries. You wanted to get into some of the depressing stuff.
That's been going on. Start off the season, depressing stuff already.
Depressing stuff, yeah, and that's all right. So injuries here. Obviously, this one hurts the most, the Devin Travis injury.
It hurt to see him, man. Like, he was so broken when he heard that he had to get surgery, and it sucked because he's been through so much. Like, he just wants to play baseball, man. Let this man's knee be all right.
Yeah, literally, dude. So he underwent surgery. He's on the 60-day DL. That's what it is, right? He's on the 60-day DL.
It said 4 to 6 weeks was the timeline for the surgery recovery.
Yeah, and then he'll probably have to do...
train, yeah.
Right, so 60 days sounds about right. It might be more, might be less. But we've already got a pretty heavy rotation going in the injury list on the IR. And so we've got Ryan Borecki, left elbow pain, 10-day DL. Tapera, right elbow inflammation on the 10-day DL. Those are March 24th. Dalton Pompe, concussion. That's one of the most confusing things I've ever heard. You heard how he got his most recent concussion, Cal?
Yeah, he fell into the bats. That was kind of crazy.
Come on, dude. Like, come on.
This guy's like, he wants to get concussions, man. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, I'm not actually saying that. Like, no offense to Pompey. Like, it sucks that he's keeps getting injured, but it's like his head is a magnet, man. Like, he's just prone to getting concussions. Like, obviously, once you've gotten them, you're way more prone to get them. But like these freak accidents that are happening, it just sucks, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's horrible. And he's so fun, man. He had such a good spring training that I was totally expecting him to be up in Toronto at some point this season. It's basically all been because of his injuries why he hasn't been on these recent Blue Jays teams, because last year he was out with a concussion. The year before, he's out with a concussion. That one stolen base in the 2015 playoffs was one of the most exciting things I've ever seen in the entirety of my life. Anyways, aside from them, we have Clay Buchholz on the 10-day DL with a right flexor strain, and Clayton Richard is day-to-day with his right knee stress reaction is what they're calling it. So is this concerning you at all? Are you not happy with this, or what's going on? What are you thinking about all these injuries, Cal?
I mean, they're not that bad. They're like 10-day DLs, and I think they're just precautionary, because they're not like huge injuries. And sorry about that. I think, like, obviously it's a hit on the pitching staff, but pitching staff has already, this is what happened last year. We had a really good pitching staff going into the beginning, and then injuries started coming, and then people got overworked so hard and they just were terrible. And I fear that might happen. But it's really early in the season, so we don't want to worry just yet. And, like, starting pitching is great. I want to see Berucki back nice and healthy because he's a stud. And, like, obviously, Tapera's a great setup man. And Buchholz is – he's supposed to be another one of our starters, right?
Yeah.
And he's played – I mean, he's a pretty he's a vet, and he's played pretty well these past few seasons. So I'm not worried too, like, just yet, but it's kind of worrying that we're seeing already these amount of injuries for the Jays, who have had a very long history of injuries and throughout the season. So let's hope it's not, like, past seasons and it's just, like, a little stint at the beginning of the season.
Do any of these stand out the most? Like, are any of these more concerning than the next guy at all? I think, other than Devin Travis.
I'm going to say Berucki because he's really young and you don't want to see someone get injured so early on. So hopefully it is just precautionary. Like, what'd you say it was? It was right elbow inflammation?
Left elbow pain.
Oh, left elbow pain. Okay, yeah. So yeah, pain. That's not even like inflammation. It's just like, hopefully
it hurts,
like,
dude.
Hopefully it's just from over pitching during the preseason. So it is kind of worrying that, like, such a young guy is already getting some pains, you know. And he's a left-hander, right? So it's his throwing arm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one's probably the most worrying, but not I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, elbow pain in a guy that young is kind of recipe for recipe for Tommy John almost. Like, not every elbow pain is Tommy John, and not everyone who gets elbow pain ends up getting Tommy John. But
look at Ohtani.
Yeah, it's not a good start for a career for a guy who's so young. And then obviously there's Vlad Jr. who's injured, but I mean, quote unquote injured. I don't think that's too concerning at all either. None of these guys, like you said, it's all 10-day DL minus Devin Travis. So, like, if they keep persisting and they keep, you know, flaming up, then that's kind of where it gets a little iffy. But also, none of these guys are, you know, big-name guys. Like, Clay Buchholz was a good sign in the offseason. Obviously, Berucki, Devin Travis, and Tapera. But, like, even then, I don't think they're going to really move the needle all that much with this Jays team. Like, we're not going to insert Berucki back into this team and automatically get, you know, 15 more wins than we were going to without him. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is bad to see. Like, it's not fun to see these guys injured. And then lastly, you kind of mentioned it about the last season, how we had a lot of injuries, and I just don't want to see some of these guys get injured again, right? Like, I don't want to see Stroman get injured. They pitched, I mean, it's only been one game, but he pitched so well. And Sanchez in spring training pitched so well. And in his start, he pitched, like, you know, very well. We talked about it earlier. So I want to make, like, I just want to see that those two guys don't get injured. And some of the big name guys, right? You don't want to see a Pilar go down. You don't want to see Grichuk. You don't want to see Vlad. You don't want to see Smoke. All these guys that fans are familiar with and who fans are probably going to be coming out to see, you don't want to see them go down, because that's where it's going to get a little iffy for attendance. And it's already down, but once you start seeing guys like Pilar go down and Teoscar Hernandez and Smoke and all the guys that the Jays fans love so much, it might get a little ugly in terms of attendance.
Yeah, I mean, we were also kind of expecting that this season, because we're like, if they really need it, they'll bring up Vlad to get those ticket sales back. But that will only last for so long until they just start getting smacked again. So, we hope that everyone stays healthy this season. That's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah. So I think that is it for the show, Kyle, unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
No, I think that the injuries is all I wanted to touch on.
All righty, man. Well, thank you for coming on this call and talking all things Toronto Blue Jays with me. I really appreciate it. Everyone go to takesix.org and listen to our podcast, read our blog posts. If you want to message us or interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @take_6. You can find us on Instagram at @takesixpodcast. You can follow us on Facebook at Take Six. So guys, do that. And we will talk to you all things Jays once again next week.